When were you born, John?
In August 22nd, 1916.
1916. Okay, mm-hmm. So you were really small when she mm-hmm. was...
Yes, I was, yeah.
So how much do you remember?
Oh, I remember she had a big garden between her house and the Methodist Church.
Uh-huh, okay.
And she grew, put in everything you wanted to eat. We got a lot of food from her.
Was that where Doug lives now, in that area?
No, it's down it's by the church. You
okay.
know where the Methodist Church is.
Remember that old yeah. house that used
well,
to
right
be
next to the Methodist Church, towards 4th Avenue.
Yeah.
And
okay.
she owned all that in between there.
Okay.
Over to 4th. And she would always say that she could hear the grass grow. And I believe she probably could because we used to pick loganberries across the street from the McLeod house. You know where the McLeod house was?
Uh-huh.
Right across the street. Bert Hunsinger owned a loganberry patch over there. Went clear over, took in the U.S. Bank and the post office. And they had all loganberries. So my mother would take me with her down to pick loganberries. And I went up there afterwards to Aunt Maggie's, and she said she could repeat some of the things we said down on the loganberry patch.
You couldn't get away with anything, could you?
Character, no.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm interested in knowing about. What kind of a character was she?
Well, she was very good to me.
Uh-huh.
And she was aggressive, very aggressive.
Uh-huh.
And she was a second woman mayor, I think, in Langley.
Yes, right.
She married my oldest uncle, my dad's oldest brother,
uh-huh.
Angus McLeod.
And how many brothers did your father have?
He was the seventh son, and I was the seventh son.
There's something
yes.
eerie
something
about,
good
that.
About that, I well. Guess.
Better than the 13th and the 13th, yeah.
Yeah. I used to go in there and get cookies, and she's a good cook.
Uh-huh.
And I think she kind of liked me, and I thought she was very kind and considerate to me.
Uh-huh.
And but she was very firm in her opinions of Langley and everything else that I knew of.
Well, tell me what about her opinions of Langley. What did she say to you about it? Can you remember?
I really don't know.
Okay.
She, she was very good to my mother, and very good to me, and used to eat a lot of cookies over there. But,
let me see.
She married my brother, my uncle.
Your uncle. Do you know when she went into politics?
When she was mayor is all.
Okay, yeah. Well, she was on the council before that.
Yeah.
And we are wondering if possibly this is the first all-female city council in the country.
Probably was.
Because the vote had not really been, the right to vote for women had not
yeah.
really been passed. It wasn't passed till 1920. Mm-hmm. And this was in 1919.
Yeah.
And I do have, I have some material on your Aunt Maggie, but not very much. And what did you know? Did she talk to you at all about when she went down with the Callista?
No, but I remember when it went down,
uh-huh.
they told me that my brother Dave was on there and my sister Ruth. They were going into some meeting in town and she was on there.
Uh-huh.
And she was too big to go up the ladder, so they put her on the barge that was going by, going into Seattle.
Uh-huh.
And she got on the barge and they took her into Seattle on the barge.
Okay.
And I always said that Dave was such a good swimmer, he'd be all right. But That's about all I remember of that.
Okay.
Ruth was on there, my sister, and Dave, and Aunt Maggie.
Winnie, do you remember too much, anything about it?
No, I don't remember anything at all. Except that somewhere there's a picture of a group of men outside of the doghouse, and there's a big puddle there.
Uh-huh.
And they all have their fishing lines. And they said that now they didn't have to rule Langley anymore, that they could go fishing.
I see. Okay.
That's the only thing I know.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. How did you two meet?
Well, she was a belle. She was a... They had a place down here. Mr. Bell filled this whole deal. I came up every weekend and worked with him and helped fill the back. We'd usually have something to do with the repairs or changing of the anchor up on the hill.
Uh-huh.
It was the back of Mr. Bell's place and the end over there, where you came down the hill to the bottom,
uh-huh,
was a big pool. And they used to come down there and ice skate when it freeze over. And,
wow. Go ahead.
Let's see, what else? What? Saratoga. Yeah, Mr. Wigger used to own the store up on the hill, he knew that. And he had a lantern. And he'd take this lantern, the bootleggers would come down the bay, and if it was free, he'd wave his lantern and he'd bring in the this was during Prohibition.
Yeah.
He'd bring in the booze, the whiskey, and then Wager would sell it around.
Oh, okay. Well, I guess that's why the all-female city council became elected, because they wanted to clean up the town from all those bootleggers and...
Yeah.
And all the men. It's heavy drinkers, a lot of them.
Yeah. Right? And what about those kind of houses?
What was that?
Prostitution.
I don't know of any.
Any of those kind of houses in town?
Not in Miami, I don't think. Maybe there was, but...
Wasn't...
John was too young to know.
Oh, you were too young to know about that, okay.
Yeah.
I know what it was all about.
So you... Where were you born?
Born up in Saratoga. My dad had a contract with the city of Seattle to cut brush, and he loaded it down the dock here in Saratoga.
Uh-huh.
And so I was up there, and Mrs. Freestone was a lady assistant, or, you know, at birthing people.
Uh-huh.
And she was gone, and Wallace was a veterinarian, and he was going to deliver if she wasn't there. Well, neither one was there, so my brother said that my mother delivered me by herself.
Wow.
And I was the 10th.
10th child?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
7th son.
And 3 sisters?
What?
And were there any more after you?
No, I was the last one. She had 10, and I was the 10th.
That's a lot of kids.
2 or 3 were born dead.
Ah, that happened, yeah. Mm-hmm. So, you were born right here on Saratoga Road?
Saratoga, upper Saratoga, yeah.
And?
Right across from, almost across from Wallace's farm.
Uh-huh.
Up here in Saratoga. There was a little shack. Dad had that and cut brush up there, and they loaded it on skids and brought it down and put it on the barge down here and took it to Seattle for the fill-in of the...
Of Seattle, yeah.
That viaduct.
Well, isn't... That's pretty much what Jacob Anthes did,
what?
Too. Jacob Anthes didn't... Wasn't he... He had... Did cutting of brush and wood.
Who was that?
The fellow who founded Langley.
Jacob Anthes.
Jacob Anthes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's what he did.
I don't remember him at all.
Oh, well, I think he probably left before you came around. And
then Dad went from here over to Camino. They ran out of brush up here and went over to Camino with the crew, and they loaded it at dock in Camino, and they cooked their own meals. And if you complained, you had to cook the next day. So they ran out of meat, and they shot seagulls and skinned them and soaked them in onions and then cooked them. And Dad said, he said, "Boy, they're sure good. They're a little tough, but they're sure good." He didn't complain.
Well, did you see much of your Aunt Maggie?
I did, yes. But
when you were going over to her house for cookies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she always kept her house very neat, clean, and it was right there between 4th Avenue and the Methodist parking lot. I think she gave part of her property to the Methodist Church.
Okay.
For,
yeah, okay.
I think I that little building that was out in back, it used to be a little building. Now it's a big area for, I think part of that was on Aunt Maggie's.
Okay. Yeah, well, that's the fellowship
church.
Hall.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
Yeah, okay. So.
And the way that the Historical Society got the building was Josie Anderson had a daughter, and the daughter married a, what was it, a Berkowitz one, or?
I don't remember who she married.
Anyway.
She was a teacher. I know that.
She gave it, she was Alma Anderson, and she, Alma Porter. She married a Porter.
Oh, she married a Porter, okay.
And she donated the building to the Historical Society.
Right. Well, that building was Jacob Anthony's bunkhouse.
Originally, yeah.
Originally, for his workers that cut the brush.
Yeah.
And send it over to Seattle too. So they were really looking for a lot of brush, weren't they?
They sure were. Well, there
must have been a lot of it here on the island.
They're washing down the hill, you know, the hills in back of Seattle.
Uh-huh.
And it just went right out into the tide flats. And so they put this brush in there. My dad said, I remember him telling me one time that would never hold. It would eventually break loose because of all that brush underneath.
Yeah, that it didn't make sense to me.
Yeah.
I know that's what they did.
And
but that's the only way they could hold the mud.
That time.
What's that?
That's the only way they could hold the mud from the hill.
Yeah.
It was going right out into the water.
Yeah.
So
and
they
the big
put that
one
brush
hits
in there.
It all goes.
Yeah.
Well, let's see. We need to talk more about Maggie. Well, you really don't remember that much about her, though, do you?
Just I went over there a lot.
Yeah. And was she on the city council at that time?
I think so, yeah.
I know she was the second woman mayor.
Yeah.
And the picture I have, well, you know what we're doing, don't you? Are you aware of what we are up to? Jill Johnson, who is a,
storyteller.
Yeah, she's a storyteller. And she wants to, I guess I didn't bring it. It's a picture of the whole city council.
Oh, yeah.
And Esther Moe is sitting right in front.
Yeah.
And Maggie is up to the right. And but she wants to, she's got four of us involved, and one will be Jacob Anthes, and one will be Captain Whitby,
mm-hmm.
who I guess really wasn't a captain. And and then a housewife and Maggie McLeod.
Yeah.
And we will be going from place to place telling stories. And there isn't an awful lot about her in the paper, or, you know. And there was an awful lot in Lorna Cherry's book about your whole McLeod family.
Yeah.
How accurate was that? Do you know?
McLeod family? I didn't see it.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll have to do something about that.
I think we have.
Yeah.
It's in the Green Book.
Yeah.
And she talks about all the different families in Langley, and McLeod's was Mm-hmm. Went to great, took pages.
Yeah.
Well, you were a big family.
Yeah,
yeah, we were.
I know Phyllis, his sister Phyllis was a telephone operator.
Oh, okay. Before would be the telecom came in?
She's older than
John. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It was owned by Nobles and...
Yes, isn't that interesting? Yeah.
Nobles owned the phone company.
Right. And we have one of the original phones in the museum.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And
hopefully they're going to buy that piece of property that, what's her name? Henny? Marion Henny?
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh. Well, I think it's possible the telephone company might buy it and let us pay the remainder of it to them, telephone company, or something like that. So we could get that old building and have it put up down there on 2nd.
Yeah, right next to the museum.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I hope they get to do that.
I do too, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Marion is very involved
mm-hmm.
now. And I'm very new at this sort of thing.
I was just trying to think too what...
Wish I could help you more.
Well, you're doing fine.
Well, Dave is the one that, of course, he's passed away.
Yeah, that might be a little difficult.
And that may be very difficult. I don't think there's a thing in his writings about it.
Did the family talk about her any? That you can remember?
Not too much, as I knew of.
Uh-huh.
Because I was too small anyway to know. But she's a very active person.
Yeah.
And she had somebody come down there every year and spade the garden spot for her.
Uh-huh.
And she grew a lot of vegetables. And she had trees there too for fruit. Apples, we used to get apples and prunes and
uh-huh.
plums from over there.
Uh-huh.
Mama Cannon.
So she lived right in Langley.
Oh, yeah.
And
right next to the Methodist Church.
Yeah. Now, do you know, was the City Hall where it is now? I know that was the Masonic Temple, wasn't it?
Where what?
The City Hall is now. See, that they moved into there since I've been here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, John said that was all apple orchard out in back there.
Ah. Okay.
Well, where the Star Store is now,
uh-huh.
There was two stores there. Primavera's owned one Star Store,
uh-huh.
and then right next to it was a co-op. And Wilson, as far as I knew, ran that co-op. And I'd go down there to get something for my mother, and he'd call me Little Fat Jack. I come in there, and we charged all year, and my dad would go to Ellsbury with all the boys, and they'd put up Snebley's hay, and that was come back and pay our bill.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Yeah, it's a co-op.
Well, it's interesting that Victor Primavera was a really nice guy. I liked him a lot.
Mr. Primavera? Who's that?
Yeah.
Yes.
Vic Primavera.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. It's really nice.
Yeah.
And after you could charge food at the store when he was there. And we had a big bill when I got divorced, and he came up to me and put his arm on my shoulder and he said, "Pay me back when you can."
Oh.
Yeah. I mean, he was so nice.
Uh-huh.
That was Vic?
Yeah.
Yeah. His dad was really nice too. Mrs. Primavera was a feisty little gal. Wow.
Which one? Vic's mother or Vic's
mother?
Wife? Vic's mother, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, what's her name? Vic's wife.
I went to school with her.
Ann, thank you.
Ann Primavera.
Ann Primavera, yeah. She walks all over town.
Still.
Yeah.
Still. She's in church on Sunday,
uh-huh.
still, and she's doing really well.
Yeah, she just, well, when she walks like that, why, she will probably walk until she dies.
Yeah.
You know, she just keeps it.
We were the first two married in that church.
Mm-hmm. You two were?
Yeah, in 1940, mm-hmm. June 2nd, 1940.
Oh.
67 years ago.
That's a while back.
Yeah.
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 And then the minister that was there, he didn't have any idea how to do it. The service. And John said he came in the back door and he was had Dave's arm and he had the minister's arm. He knew what to do. And
yeah.
They were so shaky, somebody had to stay sober, and I did. And the minister's first ceremony,
uh-huh.
marriage, and he was up there. He was very nervous, and I held on to Dave's jacket to hold him up. We went over to Chilton's in Everett and bought new suits.
Oh,
Dave and I.
Good.
And came back. We wore them, and I practically had to hand him in. Somebody had to stay calm.
He was that nervous?
Well, yeah, he was, yeah, Dave was, and so was the minister. It was terrible.
That's funny.
Well, they didn't have the experience. With
well, did you, were
I think
you
he went
fully
from here
decked
to,
out in a wedding dress?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
I think he went from here to Port Angeles, that minister.
Okay.
And we were without a minister for a while there, and what's his name up on the hill? Robertson would come in and step in and be a minister there for a while.
Oh, okay.
While we were changing ministers.
One of the things that I remember about our wedding, which we're, I don't know why we're on that.
No, that's okay.
It's history.
Yeah.
Standing before they remodeled the church, there was a stairs that went down to the basement on the side, kind of.
Uh-huh.
And there was a window in there. And I saw people walking up the street, and I wasn't familiar with any of Lange at that time either. And I saw the people coming up, the ladies with big hats on, and everybody was dressed up, and I thought, oh my golly, you know, this is Langley.
Yeah. Well, in the early 40s, too. The dress code was quite something.
Yes.
That's something I'm going to have to do, is to find an outfit to wear
for Maggie,
and in circa 1919.
Yeah.
Well,
I never saw a woman in pants until I was 3 years old.
Never saw what?
A woman in pants.
Oh. Well, here's this is Mag. This is Maggie, and this is a. Mrs. Anderson, the one that owned the what is now the museum, if you can get anything from their dress.
Oh, okay. Well, that looks pretty good.
So you could just get away with a long skirt.
A long skirt,
blouse,
yeah.
In those days, they had two Andersons. And they called the one that was married to Josie Anderson, called him Blackie Anderson. He ran the blacksmith shop.
Okay.
And they called the Anderson, other Anderson, he's right next to the graveyard. They called him Graveyard Anderson.
And that's the one they named the road after, right?
What?
That's the one they named the road after that goes to the graveyard?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Anyway, he used to have a sleigh, and he had real nice horses. He did everything right, that guy. Anyway, I thought he did. Anyway, he owned a field right across the street from the Methodist Church. It was all a big grass field.
Uh-huh.
And he'd leave his horses down there, and he had real nice horses. He'd hook his sleigh up, and then he'd come down to Langley when it was snow, and we'd hook our sleds behind it. He'd drag us around Langley.
Oh, that's fun. Yeah, well,
he'd always be dressed up with a derby on, and he never came out with what is all dolled up.
Never that hadn't been built up when I moved here.
What?
That piece of property didn't have any buildings on it when I moved here.
Didn't it?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so I belonged to Graveyard Anderson.
Uh-huh.
And blacksmith was Blackie Anderson.
That's funny.
Mildred Anderson told me that she married him, and it was a Scandinavian family, of course, uh-huh. And his mother wouldn't let them move away. They had to stay right there with her.
I see.
And she said, so I didn't, she said, I didn't raise my children. My mother-in-law did. But she said it was not a nice arrangement at all.
Oh, okay.
And evidently that's the way they do it in the old country, and that's the way she thought it should
all
be
right.
done. And so Mildred said, no, it was not a good situation. We couldn't do anything.
Oh, that's great. Well, let me see, what have I got in here? Oh, here is, I think this is about the McLeod clan that's in the Lorna's book. And she and Margaret died, Maggie died in
1942. Who did? Oh, Margaret and father.
42, huh? Should have known again.
She was in Michigan.
Oh.
Death came to Mrs. Margaret McLeod on August 18th at her home in Farwell, Michigan. Mrs. McLeod was known as Aunt Maggie to all of Langley when she made her home here for a period of about 20 years, and she served one term as mayor of the town. And she was, last April, a clipping from the local paper in Farwell was reprinted in the Record, which told of the happy celebration of Mrs. McLeod's 90th birthday anniversary party, which included greetings from her Langley friends, all of whom remember her with affection. And here's this story about the sinking of the Callista.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And
yeah, Hugh McLeod was a justice of the peace in Langley. And he settled a lot of cases right there. And I'd hide in a, underneath the shelves where he had a, and he put a door down, I'd listen to his cases.
Oh.
And he'd say, well, you owe me $2 or $3 or whatever it was. And the farmer said, I don't have any money, but I got a couple of chickens. So he'd bring in a couple of chickens to him.
Uh-huh.
And he'd come down the next day and he'd be, you could smell the chickens cooking in the pot. Yeah, they didn't have any money in those days.
No. Well, I have a feeling it's going to be that way now.
Yeah.
From the looks of things.
Yeah.
But you know, when you think, it seems like a short time to me that things could have changed so much.
Yeah.
From that to now.
Yes. I know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I've been here 40 some years now, and that's almost half your lifetime.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's changed quite a bit.
Mm-hmm. Certainly has.
So, well, I have a feeling that's just about it, unless you can think of something else that might be of interest to about Maggie.
I thought she was very, the picture sure was quite slim, but I thought she was quite heavy.
Well,
she was, I think.
Maybe when you knew her.
Yeah, when I knew her, yeah.
Yeah. Because the one I have, she's getting there.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, she always had lots of fruit. She canned it, and she gave us a lot of fruit. She had berries out there, too, and back. I think loganberries and raspberries, both, had a row of each.
Well, I have another question about for you, though. Did you serve in the war?
No.
You weren't in the service?
When the war started, I was in the, working in the shipyard in Puget Sound Bridge and Dredge.
Uh-huh.
And I got a notice in the mail, 1A, so I took it down to the boss and of the Moore Loft, and he said, "No, you're not." He said, and he
lucky
called
you.
The phone, and about the next day I had a 3X or 2 CV, whatever it was, I was exempt from the service. But I was ready, had called, who was it, one that worked down?
John, I don't remember.
I had called to get into the Merchant Marines, and he said he'd get me on. And then I came back and told the man to Moloff, Tom Murphy, and he said, "No, you're not." And the next day I got a 3B or 3Z or whatever it was.
4F, I think you were.
Yeah.
Wasn't that it?
Yeah,
4F.
Probably.
I remember that. Yeah, my father didn't serve in the war either. He was just a wee mite too old. He was born in 1909.
Yeah.
And so he was up there, and we moved to New York City right after the war started.
Oh,
so it was.
How did you get out here?
It's a long story.
Oh.
I think I'll turn this off.